20, when no angel stays the hand. Abraham had made his heart-wrenching surrender. He had raised the knife to take the life of his son. The son born of a miracle. And then, just at the critical moment, just in the nick of time, an angel stayed his hand. But sometimes no angel stays the hand. Down through the centuries, to this very moment, rising from this planet, in an ever-increasing crescendo, is the persistent question, why? Why, Lord? Why did you let Tommy die? Why didn't you stay the hand of death? Where were the angels when I needed them? Weren't you watching, Lord? Or were you busy somewhere else? I trusted. I believed. Why didn't you answer? Didn't you care? Why, Lord? Why? Such is the language of broken hearts. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, said Jesus. But many have been hurt. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But some have not recovered. These signs shall follow them that believe. But many have believed and seen no miracle at the critical hour. On earth peace, goodwill toward men, said the angels. But the world's hurt is growing worse by the day. Where are the angels now? Why don't they stay the hand of trouble and violence and crime? Why doesn't God do something? If only he could. If only we could understand how he longs to heal every hurt, to cool every fever, to mend every broken bone, and broken heart, to set the world singing again. But he can't, yet. If God should do for his trusting, believing people all that he longs to do, heal every one of them, keep the planes from crashing and the automobiles from colliding, prevent every accident, turn every bullet aside, permit no harm to come to one of his own, Satan would charge him with giving his people an unfair advantage. But it is more than that. If God should heal all the hurts, if he should stay the hand of violent death, if he should restrain the winds of the hurricane and turn aside the waters of every flood, if he should allow no plane to crash, if he should allow no catastrophe to take the lives of the innocent, along with the guilty, men would never understand how cruel, how lethal, how ruthless sin is. And until men understand that, until it is burned indelibly into every mind in the universe, this reign of trouble can never be ended. God is in a hurry, too. But he wants to do it right. And so an angel stayed the hand of Abraham. An angel stopped the mouths of lions in Daniel's day. Jesus himself walked in the blazing furnace with three men who refused to deny him. Peter was delivered from prison. But John the Baptist died alone. And Paul. And no angel stayed the hand when the disciples of Jesus, one by one except John, died a violent death. And no angel stayed the hand when Jesus endured the terrible ordeal that gave us the word Gethsemane. They were watching. They saw him weighed down with the shuddering, mysterious dread. They saw the fate of humanity trembling in the balance. They longed to go to his aid, But the decision to save man or not to save him must be his own. They saw the Father separating every beam of light from his Son and knew then how offensive sin is to a holy God. They saw the cup tremble in his hand. They heard him plead, "Father, if it be possible." But there was no escape for the Son of God. He must die, or all humanity must die. Finally, his decision made, he fell dying to the ground. And then at that critical moment, the heavens opened. A brilliant light split the darkness as Gabriel, the mighty angel who took the place of Lucifer, came to the Savior's side. Jesus' own special angel was sent, not to stay the hand, not to remove the cup, but to strengthen him to drink it. He assured him of his Father's love and told him that a multitude of souls would be eternally saved by his sacrifice. And then came Calvary. The mob was there. The executioners were there. The scoffers and the hypocrites were there. Satan was there, wringing the heart of Jesus with his fierce temptations. The fallen angels were there, casting their hellish shadow over the minds of men. But God was there too, in the shadows, near him, loving him, proud of him, even as with breaking heart he removed the last evidence of his presence from his Son. And angels were there, watching in silence as they saw the Savior crushed with the weight of all the sins of men, all the world's guilt at once. Watching in amazement as they saw how far Satan would go, watching as the last trace of sympathy for the rebel leader was drained from their hearts, watching as they saw Jesus defeating death and the author of death, making the universe forever safe from death's deadly taint. Angels were there, their own hearts crushed and amazed by what they saw that day, by the awful depths of rebellion and the incredible heights of love enacted before them. And then the Savior cried, "It is finished." In that final moment, he knew that he had won. And angels knew. And Satan knew. Is it any wonder that angels rejoiced that it was done? Sometimes no angel stays the hand, but in God's incredible providence, out of the densest darkness shines the most brilliant light for Jesus, for you, for me.